All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
Been in this position for Paraguay, but he scores! Paraguay have done it! Paraguay have won it! And they booted Germany out of the World Cup!
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. And just like that, the summer of Freddy in America is over. Paraguay ousting Germany in penalty kicks. Hello and welcome and thank you for giving me a day off from the ZabeCast. It is a Tuesday, June 30th, 2026, about to turn the page into the month of July. We are in the middle of a massive heat wave here in the U.S. There's one going on in Europe. Got some thoughts about that coming up here in just a second. And we got our 250th birthday celebration coming up on Saturday, 4th of July, perfectly timed for a Saturday in the good old US of A. I drove back from Milwaukee where I was playing golf all weekend long last Saturday and Sunday at Erin Hills, and it was sublime. We had a little 12-man invitational two-day tournament, stroke play, net with your official USGA handicap, verified, certified in the GIN app, the Golfers Handicap Index Network. I think that's what it stands for. And yours truly, El Baldo, as a 4.4, now semi-retired radio guy, was the winner. That's right. I played out of my mind. It was crazy. It was crazy. Hit the ball great. I putted absurdly well. And I shot 77-77 at Erin Hills from the white tees day one, the green-white combo the next day. And I won this little silly event by four shots. Great meeting of men of moderate to not so moderate ability when it comes to golf. And thank you to Jim Lombardo, who is the head pro out at Erin Hills. Jimbo is just so good to our group, helping us get times that work for everyone's schedules and whatnot. Couldn't be nicer to us. Couldn't be a bigger supporter. Erin Hills keeps growing on me. It keeps getting its hooks into my heart and will do so ever more because of how well I played this weekend. But the greens for general public play were the fastest and purest I have ever set foot on. I mean, unbelievable. And I said, Jimbo, what did you guys do to get these so good? They were already very good, but these are, you could host the U.S. Open today on these greens. He said, we had a guy, our former superintendent, he left for another job in the area. They paid him a lot of money. We paid more money to get him back. He's really good. Did a study on the water. And there was something about the water, the pH level, and they changed that they were using on the greens. And they're just amazing. But they were lightning fast. And the runoffs and the fall-offs at Erin Hills. Whew. So anyway, what a weekend it was for me. A lot of fun. Always nice to play well when you're trying to against your buddies who really don't care because, you know, they're your golf buddies just for the camaraderie. They don't give a shit what you shoot, good or bad. And the weather was great, and it wasn't too hot. But now the heat is on, and Germany is out. And I dare say I don't want to give a Nelson Muntz-like ha-ha to Freddie LA7, but part of me is like, good. I'm glad his absolute overindulge run as just one of many German tourists in the country for the World Cup has come to an end. Although he admitted today on Twitter that even though Germany lost and he said, look, we deserved it. We played like shit. A lot of chances, no real scoring threats, too conservative, didn't attack enough, and got what they got. They got in penalty kicks. He said their flight doesn't leave back to Germany till July 23rd because, of course, they had booked their stay, assuming they would go all the way to the final. Oh, yeah. Do we think we're going to keep indulging Freddie as a country, corporate America, every celebrity under the sun? Gordon Ramsay in Boston stepped up and got a suite hotel room for Freddie and his buddies. Is this now going to end? Is the gravy train going to end? One tweet that's caught everyone's attention was Freddie saying, after this is over, I'm deleting this account, the @FreddieLA7 account, which has a picture of footballer Ronaldo and his German flag. It has now grown to 750,000 followers, which that's a business right there. That's a potential living right there as an influencer. But Freddie LA7 said, after this World Cup, I'm deleting this account. I don't think the influencer life is for me. And everyone that said he's a plant, he's propped up by either the State Department to promote how wonderful America is, tweeting about how much he loves it, or corporate America to do kind of a viral quasi ad placement campaign. Everyone who said that was like, aha, gotcha, told you. I don't know if I fully believe it, but I find it very interesting. Of course, here's the thing about him being an influencer. You can't be an influencer when you don't show your face. And you're not going to be a very good influencer if you're not creative, if you don't, like, say anything. All he has done, Freddie LA7, is come to America, gushed about how great it is, and we collectively was like, all right, he likes it. We are liked by a European. Let's give this European a lot of stuff. Let's give him the VIP treatment. He did tweet things like this. I'm absolutely in love with small-town America. This is a place called Island Pond in Vermont. They have a population of 750. But there was quite a lot going on. They had a flea market, a nice deli, and a beautiful lake with people on their boats. That's not a lot going on, but yeah. Small town America's great. And we have tens of thousands, if not more, of these all over the place. Yes, small town America is wonderful. The people in small town America are wonderful. Your ride has been wonderful, but it's now over. The way a Jers on Twitter says, Germany just lost the World Cup and now has to go back to 67% taxes, 12 euros a gallon gas, no air conditioning, and cold showers to save energy. Rough summer. Yeah. It was a good ride while it lasted. More on the World Cup coming up here in just a second with my man from the Clean Sheet EPL, Nick Lochner. We'll talk about why there was a media grilling of our coach after their 3-2 loss on Thursday night, even though it didn't matter. Also, why the draw looks bad on paper, but it could have been actually worse, and how indoor teams and dome teams are going to have an advantage coming through this heat in the next 3 to 4 days. Also, there's a big announcement I've got for you guys at the end of today's podcast. If you haven't heard it already, if you're not on social media, you might want to stick around to the very end, and I'll give you that. But there is other news out there. Big news, small news, medium news. Let's start with one of the dumbest fucking things you've ever seen and heard. Tarion Arnold has been cut by the Detroit Lions. The cornerback is facing decades in jail for his role in a plot to get revenge on a couple individuals that robbed him and his friend. This is from the Detroit News. Dateline Tampa. Tarion Arnold, the Lions' former first-round draft picks, plotted to lure three men he believed may have stolen property from him to a Florida apartment, setting the stage for a violent confrontation. This, a Tampa detective testified during Monday's pretrial detention hearing. Wearing a red jumpsuit with his hands cuffed, Arnold listened as Tampa Police Detective Scott Barnett described the football player as one of the main organizers in a scheme to lure three men to an apartment in early February. There, they were confronted by two other people about thousands of dollars of property that had been stolen days earlier. Arnold was staying in Florida at the time of the alleged assaults, one of the seven charged in connection with the incident. He has denied involvement in this. However, the evidence is pretty substantial. And even though he wasn't present when the men were assaulted and held, prosecutors said his car was outside the apartment during the attack, and he participated in a group chat about it. Now, the Lions cut him today, even though he was given bail, so he's going to be out at least temporarily while he's awaiting his case. A couple of the women involved who lured the men to this apartment where they were pistol-whipped and threatened at gunpoint, they've already flipped because they don't want to do 20 years in the can. They might be able to do 5, and they've cut a deal. And that's how it works. But Tarion Arnold is dumb as shit that he's in the NFL making millions of dollars, and some guys rob him, and he thinks, I know what, I'll just get some of my thug buddies to go pistol whip them, and we'll get that money back. And I'll be this mastermind of this scheme, and I'll text these things, but don't worry, no one's ever going to see this. Yeah, well, you sure? Sure that's going to work out the way you think? Head coach Dan Campbell said in April that the team did not believe Arnold was involved in the incident, and that as far as they knew, it's, quote, not a big deal. It's a big deal now. Because Tarion Arnold, he gone. This following up Brian Branch blowing out his Achilles, or was it his ACL? And, Branch tore his Achilles in December. Kirby Joseph has chronic knee issues. And now Tarion Arnold is out. The Lions are still technically the favorites in the North. I don't know, man. This is where you think back to when Campbell said tearfully after their fucked up loss in San Francisco, this might have been our shot. This might have been our only shot. We shall see. But as dumb as that is, Tarion Arnold trying to get his shit back from a couple guys who stole from him, at least I can understand the kind of the violated passion that you would have, the internal burning pissed offedness of it. And that would motivate you to do something that if you sat and thought for a second and calmed down and said, it's not worth it, it's not worth it, it's not worth it. I get it a little bit more than I get this. Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley, former Detroit Piston, former Milwaukee Buck, former, he might have been on another team as well, former Timberwolf. He has been charged in a gambling scheme in which he conspired to throw totals and prop bets when he was a member of the Bucks as well as the Timberwolves. And I want to say there's even one when he was a Piston. In fact, Beasley was sitting on an offer from the Pistons for $42 million, and then, boom, the FBI investigation into his point shaving and prop manipulation came out. Next thing you know, the Pistons are like, we're going to take that off the table until we see what's going on here. Also, he got evicted from his downtown Detroit condo, allegedly owed his barber $8 million. And according to this guy, Jacob Jones, on Twitter, remember when a good chunk of Pistons Twitter responded by telling everyone to mind their own business? Good call, guys. Good call. Beasley did some things that now when you look at it, the video, you're like, holy shit. This guy definitely was doing some weird stuff. Beasley, on one game with the Timberwolves, with 4 seconds left, eight-point game. Clippers up eight, 118 to 110, 5 seconds left. Clippers at the line, missed free throw, and here's what Malik Beasley does. This is the raw feed. There's no...
One last shot. How about Beasley? 21 points. Carl Anthony Towns with words from Marcus Morris.
Okay, I thought this was like a raw feed. Even the announcers are done with the game at this point, but Beasley was not. They're just watching.
Beasley's going to get it off. One last shot. How about Beasley? 21 points.
He sprints to the rim for a dunk with 0.4 seconds to go. I mentioned the spread, the margin in the game was 8, correct? Well, the spread was 8.5. So Beasley pushed the spread to a cover by the Timberwolves, plus 8.5. It looks so fishy now in retrospect, and probably tip people off like, what's going on here? If you watch... And I don't want to say closely. If you watch even just casually, there's sometimes things that stick out that you go, wait, what's this? There is also a play in which he got a rebound where he sprinted down court, made sure to sky for the rebound, got the rebound with less than a second to play, and then seemed to just sort of double over and exhale in huge relief. And there's like a text exchange in which he and other guys are saying, man, our boy got it on the last rebound in the last second. Whew. We could have been down thousands if he didn't get that. Here's a exchange that the feds uncovered. This is from the his co-conspirator, this guy Davis. Davis, you got Snapchat? Beasley, not really. Why? Davis, talk to you about some shit on there. Beasley, you can't do it here? Davis, better talk on there. We can make some good money. I mean, what geniuses, huh? My friend, comedian Roy Wood Jr. says, say what you want about landlines, pagers, payphones. But I feel like we had smarter criminals back then. Well, our criminals are lazy now. And so they think, I'm just going to use my phone. I'm just going to text somebody or Snapchat somebody. Oh, they'll never catch me on Snapchat. Of course, Beasley was manipulating props in a three-day span right after the Bucks had fired Adrian Griffin as their head coach, who had a winning record, for Doc Rivers, who would soon come in at $7 million a year, insists they put a $90,000 golf simulator in so he could work on his swing while half-assedly coaching the Bucks. And then Beasley's point shaving in that span as well. Not a good stretch to start things off in the Doc Rivers era. But my friend Ty Windage from the Eurostep podcast said, I know folks will go full conspiracy stuff on this, but what it's worth? Bucks went 3-1 in the four games the Athletic reports Beasley allegedly manipulated, so they were actually significantly better in those games with Beasley manipulating props than the Bucks were in the rest of the Doc Rivers era as their head coach. Incredible. You're making millions in the NBA. Just don't fuck it up. Don't try to make more because you think you can be cute with the prop bets. And of course, there's a push now. Leagues want to ban prop bets. Again, I don't know how you do it. It'll go to prediction markets instead. It'll migrate elsewhere. It'll go underground. It ain't going to happen. But they're pushing. Diana Rossini's back in the news again for reasons that, well, this story just seems to still not go away. I mentioned last week the New York Times did a story about The Athletic. It's like The Times reporting on The Times. And about whether or not they were lax in their oversight of their journalists, like Rossini, in the wake of the scandal with Mike Vrabel. Well, one of the claims in that story was that Rossini, on a podcast, said she got out of a speeding ticket, or got out of a ticket, a traffic stop, because she FaceTimed an NFL coach while the officer was coming up, knocking on the window, saying license and registration. Well, turns out that's not true, because the body cam footage of the, not even ticket, she did get out of it, but not by FaceTiming a coach, just by being Susie Fangirl. I want you to listen to the audio of this cop and Rossini, and apparently he pulled her over because he saw that she was on her phone a lot at an intersection that he followed behind and saw her on her phone, and she was constantly on her phone, and she, of course, she had an excuse for it because she's a very important reporter.
I understand you have a job.
Here we go.
Okay. So, obviously you were on your phone for a while, right? I was on, when you went under the underpass, right, on Garber Square, I was by Library Place, so you're on your phone there. I got behind you, right, by Whole Foods. You continue to be on your phone, right? I understand you have a job.
Of all times, it's like, no one expects you to go ahead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm shocked that they fired me. I cannot believe it. You know who was on the phone with?
Who?
Brian
Gable,
because he lost the job.
Oh, okay.
Are you a fan of Giants or Jets?
I'm not a fan of either, so.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately.
So as soon as he says, I'm a Viking fan, by the way, it's funny, he says, unfortunately. Remind me to bring this up with Charge. Diana, big smile on her face, gets her phone, starts punching up a text because she wants to show that she just texted with head coach Kevin, not Stefanski, but Vikings coach, talking about, look, I just texted him.
Let's see it.
Kevin O'Connell.
Can you see the name?
Oh, my God. KOC?
Look what I said to him, though, just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh, my God.
You know, this fucking cop, fire this guy. Seriously. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. You're texting with a cop. If you're going to give her a ticket for being on her phone, just say license and registration. You're driving while using your phone. So, yeah, pulling you over. By the way, I know people are going to say, hey, I saw a clip of you talking to Lochner for this podcast today while in your Tesla with a microphone mounted to your roof. Yes, full self-driving was going on, and my eyes were clearly, as you can see the video, on the road the entire time. I was fully attentive. It was no different than taking a phone call, hands-free, doing an interview. So just for the record, I was not physically handling my phone. Although with Tesla full self-driving, you could be on your phone kind of quite a bit. It's probably not the best thing in the world. Anyway. So here she is, chatting him up, charming him up, but nowhere in the traffic stop does she actually FaceTime an NFL coach to have the coach help her get out of a ticket. which would also be unethical. As a, quote, Big J journalist working for The Athletic, which is part of the New York Times, the gray lady. So Rossini lied on the podcast about something that was unethical to begin with, and now the body cam footage proves that she's a liar. Okay. I think we're done here for the most part. AJ Perez says, so Rossini lied about doing something journalistically unethical. She just can't catch a break. Yeah. In Iowa, a guy has been fired from a radio station for defending his fellow fired colleagues. KXNO, sports station in Iowa, part of the iHeart Media family. I know those guys. They fired me. iHeart going through another round of crushing layoffs as they try to right-size their business to somehow be profitable. They're going to cut their way to profits. Just give them a few more rounds of saying, you, get out. Trent Condon tweets, my days at KXNO are over. My comments on air were considered, quote, controversial from corporate about my colleagues that were let go. I stand by what I said. Apparently, longtime host Ken Miller was about to retire, was about to hang him up on Tuesday the 30th. After 30 years, and they yoinked him one day early so he wouldn't have a last show. Dirty pool? Yeah. That's how it works. That's what they do. That's the business, for God's sakes. So this guy, Condon, who's a lot younger and not ready to retire, defended Ken Miller and said he was very disappointed. And I'm sure a very Iowa nice way. There was no rant. There was no screed. There was no profanities. It was, I listened to it. I read some of it. It was respectful, saying, you know what? This is not a good way to treat people who have done great work for the company for a long, long time. And iHeart said, okay, you too. Get out. And believe you me, the corporate titans, they love it when there is a stark example for every other peon there taking their paycheck, taking their cheese to go, oh, that could be me. I better shut up and keep my head down. Again, it's a dirty biz. I love it, but it's a dirty biz. You have to understand. And it's a business that's honestly struggling in the wake of the digital sort of environment we live in now, and the distractions left and right and all over the place, and places to get your audio, your long-form audio, your short-form audio, your medium-form audio, and you have to compete in that. I don't think radio is ever going to fully die, but it's got to find its place. One last thought before we talk some soccer with my guy, Nick Lochner. The heat wave in Europe. They don't have AC in Europe, almost like anywhere. I mean, they got some, but not much. And it's a combination of things. One is it tends to not get super, super hot like it is there right now, but once every 10, 15, 20 years. Of course, when it does, people die. Tens of thousands of elderly people dying of heat stroke. It's brutal. In fact, people are quoting the stats about, you know, more people are dying in Europe per year because of heat stroke than they do from gun violence in America. And all that Europe does is lecture us about, oh my God, all the gun violence. I don't want to compare the two because that's not the point. The point is, why does nobody get mad about, hey, we got to make sure there's heating so people don't freeze to death in the winter? That's not controversial. That's not political. But yet, air conditioning is. Death is death. The weather is the weather. I mean, come on. But it's crazy. So it's, you know, part of it is they don't tend to get quite as hot. Also, many of their buildings are centuries old, stone, difficult to install centralized AC. The energy prices, the electricity prices are a lot higher in parts of Europe. And then there's just the whole political angle of, no, Air conditioning is bad. We don't need it. It ruins the environment. In fact, there's already columns in French newspapers blaming the U.S. for this heat wave because we believe in air conditioning, as does many other parts of the world that can afford air conditioning. Some great tweets, including this one. You don't get it. This is a fake quote. You don't get it. Air conditioning just takes the heat and puts it outside. Yeah. That's the point. This one, I can't understand why the electricity consumption of the air conditioner is bad, but the electricity consumption of charging your electric vehicle is progress. The European mind cannot comprehend that if it's 97 degrees in your apartment, maybe the room should have a machine that makes it not 97 degrees. The hospitals, many of them don't have air conditioning. That is insane. If you're going to say, look, we can't retrofit every single building here with centralized AC, then surely you got to build your hospitals to spec, right? Your nursing homes to spec, right? Even if you don't use much air conditioning for most of the summers, you got to have it just in case, don't you think? Hell, people in China are posting to social media videos trolling their European counterparts by posting videos showing their pigs have air conditioning. This while many Europeans can't, in part because of government rules and regulations. I'm looking at a video right now of a pig pen that does indeed have air conditioning somewhere in China. Jesus. Get with it, Europe. Get with it. It's no different than heat. It's something to help humans both not die, but also not be miserable, because it can be done. And it's not going to ruin the planet. And by the way, China don't give a fuck about European regulations on emissions or saving the planet. Go look up Chinese CO2 emissions on a chart versus the rest of the Western civilized world. Coming up, Nick Lochner, clean sheet EPL on the World Cup. And the USA's draw and how far they can possibly go. You are listening to the Zabecast. It is time to get our World Cup on. Nick Lochner of the Clean Sheet EPL on Beehive joins us now. We are through to the knockout stage. And what a tournament it has been. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great, Zabe. Thanks for asking. I'm actually a little on my own little road trip here down to Dallas to attend a World Cup match tomorrow with last-minute tickets. So kind of exciting.
No way. Do tell, which match?
Yeah, so I got a buddy who has been volunteering for FIFA. And he took a little break and got access to some tickets. And so he called very last minute. And I quick bought a flight. And I'm down here for Norway versus Ivory Coast tomorrow at noon in Jerry World. And I'm looking forward to rowing with the Norwegians.
It's going to be great. You going to row the boat? You going to wear their jerseys?
Yeah, I'm going to. In fact, I think I'm going to go for one of their away kits. Those letterings and numbers that they have on their jerseys are pretty cool. I think it might be a good little souvenir. So I think I'm a little impartial to Norway. I'd like to see Erling Haaland continue on in the tournament. No offense to Ivory Coast.
So let's get to Team USA. How is their draw? And tell us who they could potentially face. 1, 2, 3.
Yep. So Team USA has a very good draw. It could have been great if some of the upsets would have happened, but they've got Bosnia-Herzegovina in the round of 32, a team they will definitely be favored again. And I was reading, it is the first time they will ever be favored in a knockout stage in the World Cup. And so the expectation should be for them to advance. That game is San Francisco, July 1st, and they will most likely, well, I shouldn't say most likely, because the opponent they're going to play is either Belgium, who has not been playing up to their potential, but they have great potential, and Senegal, who were in the finals of the AFCON, the African Nations Tournament last year. Really good team. So two good teams. Not sure who's going to come out of it, but the U.S., even with home field advantage, I would expect Belgium to be favored and maybe pick them against Senegal. And if they were to get through that, Zabe, Spain is on the horizon. They're kind of in their bracket if they get to the quarterfinals.
So after Spain, if they're all the way at the top of the mountain, they would likely have to play Argentina, I think I saw.
Well, no, France would be in there yet, too. So it would be France is on their side of the draw as well.
So it could be Bosnia. Right. So it's going to be Bosnia for sure. So here's the possible. Bosnia, then possibly Belgium, then Spain, then France, then Argentina?
Yeah. And that wins you the title. That would win you the title, Zay. But, but you don't have to.
You said it was a pretty good draw. And I know a little bit about soccer to be dangerous. I know enough to go, fuck, that's impossible right there.
Here's why I say it's a good draw. Because I think, yes, I would like to see him win the whole thing. Once you get to the quarterfinals, take away the teams you just mentioned. The quarterfinals on the other side are going to be Brazil and going to be England and going to be Argentina and going to be Colombia. And or most likely will be. And I mean, those teams are on par with the teams we just rattled off, although, you know, obviously France and Spain are great. But to get to the quarterfinals, I think there's only one better path in the other areas.
All right. So in other words, once you get high enough, all the teams are good. All the nations are daunting. And that's just a pool that we have not been swimming in over the years. Okay. All right. And then, of course, there's Germany as well.
That is correct.
Them. So a lot of good clubs in there. All right. Were you as taken aback as I was by the media's grilling of our guy, Pochettino, in his beautiful fishing shirt, his bowling league shirt, after their loss in a meaningless game to, what was it, Uruguay?
Oh, it was a Turkey. And was I surprised from members of our media having those kinds of questions and that kind of approach? No, not really. Do I think the questions were very good or you know, led to some insight? No, I don't think so. You know, one thing to remember here is Pochettino started nine different players in that match. He sat four players because they were on a yellow card. And if you get two yellow cards in the group stage, you have to sit out the round of 32 match. So he didn't want that to happen. So it was, I mean, all these guys are world-class players, but it was the B team, right? It was the reserves, wasn't the starters. And you know, the U.S., this was an interesting stat. These numbers are close, but not exact. I know the U.S. team as a team in the first round, in the first group stage matches, ran more than any other team in the whole tournament. I think they ran 131 kilometers or something like that. There's a lot of tired legs. It's a lot of running. And if you are given the luxury to keep guys fresh, get other guys' experience. And, you know, let's be honest, they started the game great. They took a 1-0 lead. Their weaknesses on the defense, particularly when you get to the subs, that's what came through. Turkey scored a couple goals. The U.S. came back and fought back to take it to the end. At the end of the day, the performance was not a bad performance, given everything that I just said, and it sucks to lose, but you know, we're on to Bosnia Herzegovina.
Yeah, I was stunned because it was question after question that was all tilted towards, oh my God, are you really disappointed in this loss? And I couldn't figure it out because I'm like, he started nine new guys, so it truly was the B team. They scored, they fell behind, they scored to tie it. Pulisic came in for a little shot of whatever, and then they lose in the literal last minute of the game. Who fucking cares? Got yellow cards to mitigate. It doesn't matter. Survive in advance. You won your group.
I just didn't know if that was American soccer media being naive to how it goes, but maybe there was more to it. Maybe like losing even a game you don't have to win is some great shame, or it takes some momentum out. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't agree. Yeah, I think maybe that's what some people would think. I think they just try to stir this pot. The other thing is, you know, Pochettino, English is a second language. He does a really good job with it. But, you know, he's using some analogies in there, which the media, you know, if you're truly have an understanding of what he's trying to say, you could take it in one way, or if you wanted to make a big deal out of it and then go post it and get clicks on it, you could do that too. And I think there's a little bit of that going on too.
Sure. All right. Then there is the case of Uruguay, one of the great stories of the World Cup so far, and that after getting grouped as a team expected to easily advance, they were told, the players, yeah, the team playing, it's leaving without you. Good luck on orbits.com. You texted me the link and simply said, it just means more. Classic.
Yeah, it was just brilliant. You know, there's been a little bit of that, not just for Uruguay, but it was a complete dud for Uruguay, because not only did they finish third in the group and without enough points to advance, but they were in what was considered a pretty easy group for a team of Uruguay's stature. And so, yeah, their manager, Bielsa, who used to coach in the Premier League with Leeds United and had a big falling out at the end, it's kind of the end of the road for him, I think. It was a very telling, just a terrible performance on, you know, quite honestly, a team that many people had as one of their picks to go to the semifinals, to be in the final four.
The game that was supposed to be a game of shame in which neither team wanted to win turned out to be an absolute barn burner. It was Austria and who else?
It was Austria and Algeria. And the uniqueness of that game was if both teams drew, they would earn 4 points for the group play and both would advance. If one of the teams lost and they stayed on 3 points, it would have come down to goal differential to see who would have advanced. And side note, just for people who have been following along, 8 of 12 teams who finished third in the group advanced this year to the round of 32. And then obviously first place and second place each advanced. It took 4 points to advance this year for all but one team. So you needed to win a game and you needed to draw a game at least to advance to the round of 32 in this tournament. And so that game you described, Austria-Egypt, there was a lot of talk about them having a behind-the-scenes handshake that said, we're going to pass the ball around to each other and we're going to draw and tie because then we both go through and we're not going to beat you and you're not going to beat us. And that really didn't happen. There's some history between the teams, like from 60 years ago, where there were some controversies, which I won't get into. But the bottom line is they were cautious, but then they started playing and you got to the end of the game. And without getting into, again, too much detail, Algeria scored when it looked like they were going to hold the ball and it pissed Austria off, and there were arguments on the bench, and there were about 30 seconds left, and they kicked the ball off and went down and scored on the final play to tie the game. And it truly was one of the best games of the group stage. And here's what's even more interesting. It was the last game of all the group stage. Iran, if one of the teams would have won, would have advanced. If both teams drew, Iran was knocked out. And so Iran was either advancing or eliminated, toggling back and forth in the final 20 minutes of that game 5 times.
And they were eventually knocked out, Iran.
And Iran was knocked out, and they filed a complaint saying that it seemed like the two teams were conspiring to tie, which if you just even kind of watched a little of the game, you knew that was not the case. But yeah, it was crazy. It's one of the cool things about those group stages.
Yeah. Straight yes. into the yeah. garbage
no, they,
file
they go
for
straight,
FIFA.
Straight to
complaint.
The
Thank you for complaining.
Circular file, that one.
So the other thing that was a big story was the offsides call that was made by VAR because a player's toe was determined to be offsides. And the big meme that was going around was how, okay, soccer, we're going to use VAR and 3D graphic technology to figure out if a pinky or a toe is offsides and nullify goals, which are rare and beautiful and exciting. We're going to nerf the very essence of what makes the sport so great because we've got to get it right. We have to be very accurate on this. Also, soccer, when is the game over? Well, let's just see how much extra time the referee has allotted on his wrist. Can you square the two ends of this where on the one end they're being hyper precise with all this technology? On the other end, it is the most gross, yeah, I'll guesstimate it kind of thing ever.
All right, here's the way I would try to square it for you. What's great in a lot of ways about soccer is it's a free-flowing game. There's the human element. The clock doesn't stop. The ref communicates to people how much time, but it's kind of a rough decision and everybody kind of generally knows and there's no countdown at the end, but it really adds to the free-flowing nature of the game and pushing to the end. Contrast with technology that we see it in the NFL and Major League Baseball, everywhere else. We just want to make sure we get any glaring mistake wrong. We want to make that right where we can. And so, you know, soccer has gone to VAR before the, you know, recently with the goal line technology, right? So they could, is the ball fully over the line or not? Yes or no. They use technology to do it. Mm-hmm. And now that it's started to creep everywhere else. And the big toe of some player versus, because you know, an arm, if you hang your arm out to the side, that does not constitute offsides. It's your torso. So you tell me. What you tell me, they call it the armpit, okay? But then they're drawing lines from armpits to toes, trying to figure out one player versus another. And just like the Major League Baseball strike zone, it's kind of like, well, where's the strike zone? Well, it's on his hip. Well, where's hip? Like, are you taking that picture naked? Like, or is it in his, did he pull his pants up? Like, it's, and so it's the same kind of, you know, quite honestly, crap. And I think it should go back to the call on the field stands unless it's a clear and obviously error. And if you can't tell that it's a clear and obvious error in 30 seconds, it's not clear. A toe, you would never be able to tell, right? And so they should look at it. Oh, it's not clear and obvious. Whatever the ref called stands. But that was a very controversial call. You know, there was a second, real quickly, Zabe, there was a second VAR but referee ruling that then went to VAR. There was an offsides call in that Iran game, where their goal was taken away against Egypt that cost them advancing. And the reason it was taken away is because of how the offsides rule is truly written. It's not, you can't be behind the last player on the field. It's that you can't be behind the last two players on the field, but the goalkeeper counts as one of those players. And in that Iran case, the goalkeeper had moved up the field and there was only one defender between the player and the goal. And so it's not two players, but the media and everybody went crazy on it because they said, well, wait a minute, there was only the one player back there. But no, it's actually two players, but usually it's the goalkeeper. So that was another interesting controversy, but it was the right call at the end of the day.
Well, I'm in favor of once the ball is inside the attacking box, there is no offsides. You should have to defend the whole thing. That would clean everything up. And you can't be using VAR for offsides because offsides is you're either onsides enough or you're offsides too much with the naked eye. It is not a specific thing to me. As somebody who likes sports, I want that call to be, yeah, you're basically on sides. I'm not going to nitpick about a toe or something else, but that's for the sport to clean up. Exit question, will the heat affect some of the matches coming up this week?
Yes. Yes, it will. In fact, today Germany and Paraguay are playing in Kansas City, and it's 100 degrees there, or 98. And the big discussion, it's going to be a problem, but it also, there are some teams that are going to be playing inside. So some teams, they're saying, will have an advantage because there are some guys that are going to run, you know, 10 kilometers in 90 minutes in 100 degree weather, and others that are going to be in nice and air conditioned indoor stadiums. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, you say some people
the other components that comes into.
I'm going to amend that to say some teams will. Forget the people saying. It's not saying. The indoor teams will carry a slight advantage going forward. They will not be nearly as worn out.
And that's so, you know, keep an eye out for that. And you know, we had in the group stage, you had basically 6 to 7 days between games. Now when you get into the knockout stage, it becomes 4 or 5, and so the turnaround's a lot quicker too. So depth, fitness, and stadium conditions are definitely going to impact these matches.
All right, here we go. Buckle up. USA versus Bosnia and Herzegovina. Or no, Bosnia-Herzegovina. It's a dash. It's not an and. To Trinidad and Tobago is an and country. This is just a hyphenated country. Bosnia-Herzegovina. The match is when and where and what time?
Match is July 1st in Santa Clara or San Francisco Stadium, I think they call it.
Wednesday.
And that is
Wednesday,
7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern, 5 local, I believe is the time. Wednesday night.
All right. Looking forward to continuing on with you. Nick Lochner, Clean Sheet EPL. Look for it on the web. Search for it. He's in Dallas for a rare and juicy chance to see genuine bona fide World Cup action tonight, and that's going to be great. So thank you for your time as always, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Abe.
I want you to put the word out there that we back up. Understand me? We back up.
That soundbite has been turned into a meme that you see a lot. And if you go to knowyourmeme.com and type in, I want you to put the word out that we back up, comes from The Wire, Season 1, Episode 13, titled Sentencing. And it was when the character Stringer Bell, played by the great Idris Elba, says basically, get the word on the street that our operation is running again. And I am pleased to say, baby, get the word out, Milwaukee. We back up. Starting on Monday, July 6th, The Steve Zabin Show will be airing on 105.7 The Fan, part of the Odyssey family and part of the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. Myself and my old producer, wingman Josh Albrecht, who has been there at The Fan for a while now. In the mornings, I'll be on for an hour a day starting 8 a.m. Central Time to 9 a.m. If you don't listen, if you're not in the Milwaukee area, and there are many of you who are like, I actually listen to your daily radio show, Zabe, but I don't live in Milwaukee because I just like hearing you do daily radio. Go to the Odyssey app. It'll stream as well on their official Twitter account, 105.7 The Fan, as well as on YouTube and other places. You'll get to see it. And I know there will be questions. There will be questions. Like an hour. What do you mean a one-hour show? What is this? Look, we're going to start with an hour. And we are working on it when it comes to possibly a full show from 6 to 9 a.m. We are in the depths of summer right now, and things have shifted a bit with somebody who used to be on that day part on that station. He has left. And so, you know, this is sort of a let's do what we can now, and then if it goes well, and I hope it does, then we'll, you know, by the time football's here, we'll be like, why aren't we doing 3 hours? We should. We used to. It was great. Until it ended suddenly. Look, I'm very thankful, humble to get another chance to do this. I'm excited to again work with Josh. Young Josh is just, he's one of a kind, man. He's one of a kind. Somebody described kind of our relationship not unlike the Brad Pitt-Jonah Hill character combination in Moneyball. And I know, I'm the Brad Pitt character because I'm a dead ringer for him, aren't I? I look so much like him. But it's not a bad necessary, it's not necessarily a bad analogy. But I'm looking forward to doing it, and it's part of a really good team of guys at a station that is making a comeback of their own. Because that's the business of radio. Not only do guys get thrown overboard in radio, fired out of the blue, let go, as Josh was a year and a half ago, right at the start of football season when I did not see it coming. And I'm like, oh my God, what is going on here? Now I got to adjust to another guy doing what his job was. Not only do individuals get thrown overboard, but entire fishing boats like Deadliest Catch go down with the whole crew on them, just like ours did at 97.3 The Game. Whole damn boat went down. There was one survivor life raft, which has Billy and Drew and Armin and Doug and Hunter. That's it. Still huddling around that one little life raft for who knows how long. Rest of the station, gone. Me and Butchie and Heller and KB, gone, gone, gone. Luddy's now gone as well. So this follows when 105.7 itself, just about everybody, the whole boat went down basically. All of their hosts, except for Sparky, whose real name is Steve Pfeiffer. He does afternoons for them. He's a great guy. He's the de facto program director. I met with him in Chicago when I was driving up there. I got to meet Mitch Rosen, who is one of the big guys at Odyssey, who has been doing the sports talk format in Chicago at The Score forever. And very exciting to get to meet him, talk to him about the industry, where it is now, the challenges it has, where it's going, where it still is invaluable. And we agreed. We said, look, podcasts are great. I do one. You're listening to one. But when a football team decides to change their quarterback and it comes out on Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, where are you going? You're not going to a podcast. You're going to your local sports radio station because you want to hear about it. You might want to call in and talk about it. You have opinions. It needs to be now. That's still the power of radio. I think sports talk is going to be the last format standing at the end of everything as the entire media landscape shifts and transforms into ways that nobody can even predict. It's still going to be there because of that dynamic. And so I was just very happy and thankful and humble that they would say, hey, if you got nothing else going on, we'd love for you to do this as we are figuring out a transition out of what we were doing into something perhaps more. And I said, sure, let's give it a shot. Not too proud. I am not too proud for an opportunity. Remember, kids, for those of you who might be in the business, want to get in the business, the companies own the stages. The Signal, 105.7 FM, is a stage. I'm a guy with a guitar, figuratively speaking. If you're saying you'll pay me a couple bucks to get up on your stage and bing, 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 play my song, my guitar, chances are I'm going to do it because that's what I want to do as talent. I want to perform. They own the stages. You're the performer. You perform at their pleasure until they're done with it, and then they throw you off the stage, and you look for another stage. And I do love the Wisconsin sports vibe and community and the fans and the way they look at things. Look, it's been a major part of my life for so long, 24 years with Bob and Brian, and then, of course, 6-plus years at The Game. And I tell people all the time, I go, look, they're not hardcore like New York, Boston, D.C., Chicago fans, but Wisconsin sports fans, they love their sports. They're just a little bit more Wisconsin nice. That's all. But they're great. And boy, the summer the Brewers and the Brewer fans are having as this team continues to defy the odds of the current baseball economics, the excitement with, you know, Miz just destroying people at 105 miles per hour. It's incredible. The vibe up there as I was in and around town and just feeling it once again. It was also interesting for me to drive around up there and see all the familiar landmarks. I had not been back since I left town with a U-Haul, with what was left of my apartment up there, packed in the back of the U-Haul. But I came back and I'd been a while. You know, we're talking October, so we'd gone through all the winter and all through the spring, and I'm seeing all the familiar places and sites and landmarks I'd spent so much time, and I'm like, God, this feels so familiar. Feels good. It feels like my second home, basically. But it was definitely different. No question about that. But still, it was kind of cool. I loved it. I love it up there, especially in the summer. It's too short. The winters are tough. The spring or lack of a spring is also tough, if not even tougher. And I'm super happy to get started again with Josh and to just do these things. Very simple. One, have fun. Two, revel in Wisconsin sports, the teams, the players, the culture. And most importantly, let's make some money. Let's make the station economically viable and thriving. And let's us make some money along the way as well. You do that, you can build something that is great to be a part of. Not just a show that grows, but a community of listeners that come out to events, go on trips with you, and everything else. That's what I want. And if anyone doesn't understand it, that's fine. You probably may not. It's from the outside, it may be hard to understand. Sabe, you've done so many things, and you've been on national radio, and you know you did this thing in Milwaukee, and it didn't work out. And I've been hearing you on JFK in D.C., and don't you want to pursue that? It's a much larger market. You have to be in my shoes. You have to be in the business. You have to be with the guitar strapped around your neck thinking, what songs do I like to play, and what stage do I feel good standing on, and what are the opportunities in the landscape, and how old am I, and how much longer do I want to do this? So we back up, get the word out there, starting on Monday, 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, streaming on the Odyssey app as well as on Twitter and YouTube and others. You'll see my Twitter feed, promote. And so that's where you will get to see it. But I'm super excited. And best of all, I realized, started my career on 980, the team in D.C., I worked for The Game in Milwaukee. Now I'm on The Fan. Only thing left is to work for a sports radio station called The Score, of which there are many out there. The Team, The Game, The Fan, The Score. Am I missing any? I think those are the big four right there. If I can just hit for the cycle. I'm just kidding. I just started this job. I don't want to give it up right now. Let's make this thing great. And I'm going to be looking forward to being part of a good family, including some guys I worked with over there on The Game, like John Kuhn, who follows me up in the mornings with Rami. He's a great guy, and they're doing great. So good to be part of the team and excited for it. Please tune in. Tell everybody. Get the word out. We back up. Our day starting on Monday the 6th, and from there, we just hope to grow it and grow it and grow it. And have a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. Spread the word, rate and review on this podcast, which will remain uninterrupted with as much force and vigor as before. I've got the bandwidth and the time to do it. The only thing is, my handicap's probably going up now. A little less golf for El Baldo, but the summer of Zabe has been great. It is going to be winding up quite shortly. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time.